chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they minister grace to the hearer. We pray that every believer would be warmed afresh as we look again at thy word. If there's someone here this morning who knows not the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior, may they hear his voice today. May they know his grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, if I told you earthly things and you didn't understand, how can I tell you heavenly things? And of course, Nicodemus couldn't understand heavenly things because he had not yet experienced the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot understand, comprehend, or receive the things of the kingdom of God. But oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is when a person has their eyes opened, as we saw, and they turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and experience the grace of God in the new birth. One of the things that was a magnetic force, a magnetism that drew me and many that are here this morning is what's found in the 16th verse of this third chapter. And that's what I'd like for us to look at this morning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. I'd like for us to consider for a few minutes today what so love means. When God explains to us in the Holy Scriptures his love, he uses the description so loved. This word so is an enormous little word. So loved. How much? So loved. What an enormous word so loved is. No one has fully comprehended how great, how large, how vast, how wide, how deep is so loved. The world knows something of earthly things. The world knows very little of this heavenly thing. The world knows a little bit about earthly love. The world desperately, desperately needs to learn of heaven's love. The world knows a little bit about mother love. The world needs to learn about God love. This month is set aside for acknowledgement of earthly love. And there are some who will come with roses as an attempt to demonstrate and show love. There are some who should not settle for a rose when God is offering the rose of Sharon. There are some who should not settle for candy when God offers the Christ. There is an earthly love, but there is a heavenly love as well. When the Lord met the woman of Samaria at Sychar and engaged her in conversation, he said, I can give you water to drink and you'll not thirst again. And she looked at him and said, you don't have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw with, and the well is very deep. And the well was deep. But no one has ever found the depth or the bottom of this verse. It is deep. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul challenged the Ephesians to know the love of God. He prayed for them, that you might know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Ezekiel the prophet in the 47th chapter of his book tells of a man with a measuring rod who measures the temple of Ezekiel. And while a man may measure the temple of Ezekiel, no man, no human has ever been able to measure the love of God. It is so large, it is so great. And there's somebody here this morning that came by choice or by chance, depending how you look at it, that desperately needs to know the love of God. You've known the love of mother, and you've known the love of father, and you've known the love of spouse, but you need to know a far greater love, the love of God. And so, think with me for a few minutes on this so love. First of all, this love of God is unlimited love. Unlimited love. Filial love is limited. But God's love is without limit. The Bible says God so loved. That means his love is without limit. The story was told of an ocean liner that went down in the stormy Atlantic, and as men were lowering the lifeboats, people were scrambling in for safety, and one by one they pulled themselves out of the water and into the boat, and as they heard the cry of somebody in desperation in the distance, they rowed and they retrieved a frigid and nearly frozen human being, and they pulled him in, showing such compassion and care for their fellow human beings. And then in the distance they'd hear another voice, and they paddle their boat over in the darkness, and they greet him and pull him in. And then they hear another voice, and they did it again and again and again, and they pulled him in until the boat was full. And finally they heard another voice, and somebody said, we don't have any more room. But if we don't get them, they'll drown. If we get them, we'll all drown. And sadly, and with broken hearts and feeling a tremendous guilt, they deafened their ears and they rowed away from the crying people because there was not enough room for everyone. That's human love. A human love is large enough and it has limits. And we hear one and we have compassion, we reach out to them, we pull them into the boat of our life, and we try to help them the best we can, and we hear somebody else and we try to help them as well, and we hear somebody else crying, we try to help them, and again we go through our life and we pull people into our boat, and then finally we come to a realization that human love has limits. And it saddens our heart to admit it. And so we deafen our ears. We see the faces on the television and the hands outstretched, and we harden our hearts. We cannot give a dollar to every beggar, and so we turn away. Because human love has its limits. But I'm glad to say this morning that there's a greater love. A love that knows no limits. It's unlimited. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. I'm so glad that there's the love of God. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you've taxed human love to the point that it is turned away. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has exhausted the resources of some human being, and they seem to have no more love for you. I point you to one who loves you far greater than you can possibly imagine and describes his love with a little word, so loved. It's unlimited love. In 1929, the banks of America crashed. It started as a crack in the dam, and not everyone realized what was happening. There was a run on the bank. And somebody felt that something was amiss, something was wrong, something was not right, and they went to the bank and withdrew their money, and the bank gladly gave it to them. The fist full of cash, they went out into the street and said, "If you want to get your money, you better get in there quick." One by one, people went to the teller and said, "I'd like to withdraw my savings, please." And the teller complied. And the next person, instead of making a deposit, said, "I'd like to withdraw my savings, please." And they too received their money. And suddenly the bank managers around America realized that something was wrong. And they knew that if everyone did that, there would not be enough. And so they closed the bank and declared a holiday. And people lost their life savings because there was not enough. I'm glad to report this morning that the banks of heaven are full. And there's not a single person that will go to the teller of glory and be turned away. God's reservoirs of love are filled to overflowing with an unlimited love. Some of you who feel bankrupt need to come this morning. Receive what Jesus Christ has for you and go away rich. His love has no limit. His grace has no boundary. God's love is unlimited love. Second, God's love is unparalleled love. The Bible says God so loved. You see, God's love is so peculiar that it has never been imitated or reproduced. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "Greater love than this hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friend." And that's human love at its everest best, at the pinnacle, at the summit, at its highest point, laying down your life for your friend. We call those who do that heroes. But at best, that's human love. There comes a point where you can go no higher. But there's a higher love that the Bible speaks of. It's God love. God so loved the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, and some for a good man would even adventure or pre-adventure to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? That means that this love is unparalleled, unlike any human love the world has ever known. We can understand a policeman running into danger's way and helping the woman with her child. We can understand a fireman racing up the stairs into an inferno. We can understand it, and we call that heroic, and we respect it, and we honor it. We can understand a soldier in an attempt to save the life of his compatriots throws his body on a hand grenade and gives his life, and we make a tomb for him and we respect and honor him once a year as a hero. Giving his life for his friends. But here's an unparalleled love where God gives his life for his enemies. The world has never seen anything like it. It's unparalleled. The Bible says we were all once enemies. And yet God loved us so. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." The just for the unjust. That's unparalleled. The world had never seen anything like it nor duplicated it since. God so loved the world. Third, this so loved is unending love. The Old Testament knew something of it, for Jeremiah spoke of it in the 31st chapter in the 3rd verse, and he called it everlasting love. As God looked at Israel and said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God's love is unending. Now, human love, for one reason or another, has been known to end. It's always sad. It's always heartbreaking. It's always tragic. But it's true. Sometimes those who have the highest hopes and seem to be deepest in love stand before congregations such as this, make vows and promises, find that what they had and what they thought was love turned out to disappoint them, and their love failed. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, I find a love the Bible says will never fail. That's God's love. The world on this Valentine's Day will honor what the Greeks called Eros. Oh, my friend, I pray that you might discover God's agape. It's a higher love. Eros might fail, but agape love is forever. It is an unending love. In the midst of the flood, as the waters receded, Noah opened a window and set out a dove, which searched all over the earth for some place where it might land. And the world was filled still with death and destruction and carry on. And the dove found nothing that drew it, nothing that invited it, nothing that would sustain it. And so the dove would fly back to the ark and back to Noah, until finally the dove brought the sign of peace. But as the dove flew in the world, it found nothing in the world where it wanted to land or where it wanted to live. And so it came back to Noah, a place of safety and a place of care. There are some just like that. They fly around this world looking for peace, looking for happiness, looking for, that's right, looking for love. And they try this and they try that, and they find that there's nothing that satisfies, nothing that sustains, nothing that seems to last. I have good news. God loves you more than you can possibly know or imagine. The Bible says He loves you so much. And I'm so glad and I'm so happy that one day in my life I came to that grand and glorious conclusion that no one loves me more than God. And I, like that dove fluttering around, came back to the one who loved me. And now I sing with a million other saints, "Oh, love that will not let me go." Do you know the love of God this morning? John says God so loved us. It is an unending love, a love that will not fail. Matthew chapter 18, Peter came to the Lord Jesus when someone had offended him and said, "Lord, Master, When my brother offends me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? The Lord Jesus looked at Peter and said, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. Peter didn't pull out his calculator and try to figure or calculate how many times he would forgive somebody before he would reject them. For he understood full well what the Lord was speaking of. He was speaking of an unending love. To love like I love, Peter. To keep loving and loving and loving. And how many times have I offended God? And how many times have you offended God? And he practiced what he preaches. He loves me with an unending love. They say the cat has nine lives. It keeps on coming back. The truth of the matter is there comes a day when the cat doesn't come back anymore. Not so with God's love. It's unending. It is eternal. Number four, God's love is unbiased. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. It's an unbiased love. You know, we have divided humanity, humankind, up into groups, up into tribes, and into nations. We put one here and one there, and every single one of us knows what it is to love our country and to love our native land. Some cannot fully appreciate what it's like for a foreigner to see his flag march by in the Olympics. There is something about a love of country. You see, the world knows something of love for self and love for those that look like us and those that dress like us and those that act like us. But it's so difficult to love those that are, you know, different. Not so with God. God's love is unbiased. God so loved the world. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that from every kindred and every nation, God has made us kings and priests. From the four corners of this earth, God has called people up out of darkness into his marvelous light. From every continent and every hamlet and every village and every city, God's love has entered and has invited men and women to come unto him. God's love is unbiased love. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. You have your preference and I have mine. That is because of my human limitations. God has no preference. He looks at one as he looks at the other and loves them so much that we cannot comprehend how large that is. God so loved. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 through 28, there is no Greek, there is no barbarian, there is no male, there is no female. In the eyes of God, he sees a soul that he loves. It's an unbiased love. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is at the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Nothing is more pitiful than to think of a newborn baby cast out like a piece of garbage. Infanticide. It happens every day. It happens in America. Cast out in the field, the navel cord not even cut, covered with blood. And worst of all, people walked by and didn't even pity it. Perhaps it was not the right nationality. Perhaps it was not the right race. Perhaps it was not the right kind. There was no pity. And then God came by. And the Bible says that God had compassion. And God reached out to it when it was in its blood and said, live. God's love is unbiased. He loves us. And He wants us to live. Number five, God's love is unconditional. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, the word whosoever means that God's love is unconditional. It doesn't wait until we're cleaned up or perfect. While thou wast in thine own blood. Oh, if I just clean myself up, and if I get clean and get a little bit of education and a little bit of respectability and get my Sunday morning clothes on and come in and present myself, then maybe... No, God says, while you were still in your blood, polluted, I loved you. And so we sing, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Whosoever will let him come. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? It's so loved. That means it is unconditional, and it is whosoever. That means that no man needs to die and go to hell. I don't care how vile, I don't care how low, I don't care how wicked, God's love reaches out and is enough even for them. God's love is unconditional. Of course, human love is very conditional. You can't expect the Democrats to love the Republicans because that would not be normal. It's conditional. We have to vote alike. We have to think alike. We have to look alike, but not with God. It's unconditional. Number six, God's love is undeserved. That's why we sing about amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's undeserved. I don't deserve God's love. But ladies and gentlemen, I enjoy it. I bask in the sunshine of it. I immerse myself in the depth of it. I don't deserve it. But He loves me nonetheless. Because the Bible says He so loves me. Number seven, God's love is uncomplicated. Uncomplicated love. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. It wasn't complicated if you know your Old Testament. The Hebrews had but to look at that serpent on the pole, and if they looked, that would be enough. That look of faith. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God was lifted up on a cross. And whoever looks to Him to be their Savior will be saved. You see, these 2,000 years, the church has really made it complicated. They have to do this and do that and do the other. They have to light the candle or say the prayer or bow this way or bow that way. they have to join something or sign something or give something. My Bible teaches that the love of God is uncomplicated.
He loves us and He wants us to receive His love.
Have you received it? It's undeserved and it's uncomplicated. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be saved." That's not complicated.
Even Isaiah knew the love of God. God said, "Look unto me and be saved."
Well, don't I have to do something else? You have to see yourself a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's it. Say, "Lord Jesus, save me." And He will. Next, this love is undefiled love. We don't have time to go into it, but a lot of the love that passes for love in this world is mixed with selfish motives, and it is somewhat defiled. God's love is pure. The Bible says it is undefiled. Number 9, this love of God, this so loved, is undeniable. Look at it. "For God so loved the world," look at it, "that He gave." It's undeniable. It's undeniable. All you have to do is stand at the foot of Mount Calvary and see the Son of God impaled on the tree, dying there for you. It is undeniable. God gave His Son. Doesn't say he will one day. You might have some reason to doubt that that might happen and not be saved. You have no excuse because it has already happened. He has proved His love on Mount Calvary. It's undeniable. God loves you. How do I know that? Stand at the cross and look at Jesus. And you'll see that God's love is undeniable. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son. I've looked at this word, so loved, this morning. No preacher can do it justice. I've tried the best I could. I've even used some alliteration. If you're taking notes and if you're counting, you'll see that I have 9 U's. Unlimited, unparalleled, unending, unbiased, unconditional, undeserved, uncomplicated, undefiled, undeniable. 9 U's. There's one more you out here somewhere, and that's you. God loves you. I can't make it any plainer than that. God loves you. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows what you need. God loves you. Why not discover and receive this love of God? Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Know what real love is. Trust Him. Trust Him today. Let us pray. Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. I pray if there is someone here this morning who's sitting in this building that is not in faith and not in Jesus Christ, help them to hear the call of love today. Help them to turn from darkness and to turn to light. Help them to turn to Jesus, who loved them and gave Himself for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one stanza of number 306, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." We have 60 seconds, I think. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you while we sing this. Give your heart and life to Christ, right where you are. God will know it. God knows where you are. Let's stand and sing on the 306, Just As I Am.